We've been talking about fishing, and I happen to love fishing. But what we've been talking about is fishing and getting caught by the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't even realize that when I started studying for this thing. Where did I just put that? I just put that down somewhere. I'll tell you in a minute. Anyway, I'll find it. No, something, it's actually a miracle. And it's sitting right in here somewhere. Because Pastor John showed it to me. Now, dagnabbit devil, you ain't going to have that. I'm just telling you. It's coming back. So, let's pray so I can get started, because we've got a long way to go. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Father God, for blessing this house and blessing this day and blessing us and keeping us safe, Lord. We look to you, Father God, for you are our provider. You are our redeemer. You are our all in all. In Jesus' name, amen. In those 2 weeks, you know, the devil has a counterfeit for everything. And distraction is his counterfeit for rabbit trails. Y'all didn't get that. Distraction is his counterfeit for rabbit trails. You ever been studying in the Word, and you got this way you're going, and all of a sudden there's a word that goes in there, and you go off on a rabbit trail? Now, that rabbit trail ain't necessarily bad, okay? That rabbit trail can be good, but I don't know, but I've noticed as I continue to study that he always brings you back. Amen. He always brings you back. And, you know, we talked about everything in Peter's life was set around the Lord Jesus and walking and talking and being with him, and all of a sudden he wasn't there. He said, I'm gone. And what happened? He got distracted, and he went back. He went back to what he'd done before he met Jesus, and that was fishing. And what happened? Jesus came back and got him and redeemed him and set him on the right trail again. And as we've walked through this class, we noticed that the purpose that Jesus had for that was for everybody to have him continually via the Holy Spirit. And the day of Pentecost was that unleashing, if you will, of the Holy Spirit on the believers. The day before, the day that he left, when he came back, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So as they were born again right there, they had the Holy Spirit in them. But his purpose was to have the Holy Spirit on them. Not just in them, but on them. Okay? And we talked about that. We talked about the tongues of fire above their head. That wasn't speaking in tongues. That was the Holy Spirit on them, above them, through them. That was the sign, okay? The speaking in tongues was when they was preaching to everybody that was around them, okay? So, as I was perusing during one of those winter storms, I highly recommend this book, Tozer's book on the Holy Spirit. On February the 2nd, the topic was God's kind of love. The scripture was, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. God being himself God, an uncreated being. Now, lately, I've been having to change a lot of my paradigms. And one of the hardest ones to change is your concept of God. You see, we were created in time. And so therefore, from the moment we're born, our reference of existence is based on time. But God is an uncreated being. When he talked to Moses, he said, "What I am." I am doesn't have any limits. Backwards, forwards, up, down, sideways, however you can look at it, there is no limit to I am. I am is always. And it's sort of like one of the things that one night I was looking up at the sky, and you're looking up at the stars, and you're looking up into eternity. It don't stop. It just keeps going. And if you ponder on that a minute, your brain will short circuit. Anyway, deriving from no one, owing nothing to anybody, God must necessarily be the foundation of all the love there is. That is why I say that as our God, he must love himself forever with pure and perfect love. This kind of love, God's love, holy and blameless, this love which the three persons of the Godhead feel and hold for one another. Have you ever thought about that? You know, God said that Jesus was his beloved son, right? When he was baptized, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. But have you ever really thought about that? The love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Which the three persons of the Godhead feel and hold for one another. The Father to the Son to the Father and the Son to the Spirit. The Spirit to the Father and the Son. The divine Trinity in perfect and blameless and proper love, loving one another with a holy, poured out devotion. The Trinity's three fountains, eternal, infinite, pouring without measure into each other from the bottomless, boundless, shoreless sea of perfect love. And was it Paul said that you may know the height, the breadth, the depth? God, being who he is himself the only being that he can love directly. Everything else and everyone else that God loves, he loves for his own sake. Now, just reveling in that is enough to do you for a while. The fact that the Trinity loves each other with a perfect love that can't be measured in our little finite minds. And that love is poured out to us through the sacrifice and the obedience of Jesus Christ. So that, in an acceptance thereof, we can be partakers in all that. Yeah, I know. I felt it too. What on earth does this have to do with fishing? Everything. You see, because it was that love that Jesus had for every one of his disciples and Peter that brought them to the destiny and the walk that he had designed before they were born on this earth. Okay. Let's go and talk about for a second that Holy Spirit. Let's go to John 14. And if you're there, verses 15 through 18, somebody can read those out. Okay? And then we're going to follow that up with the 16th chapter, same book, verses 7 through 11. Anybody? Amen. Amen. So, here's another question. Other than his necessary death to pay for the original sin, okay? Other than his death for the original sin, I have an opinion that I will put forth. Why did he leave? I have an opinion. Excuse me?
So he could send the comforter.
Yes, that's true. But why send the comforter if he's here? Why did he leave? And I will put forth this opinion so that you can function in your divine destiny. You see, if he'd have stayed, who was everybody looking forward to do the miracles? Who was everybody looking forward to do the provisions? And that's not what he wanted. He wants us to experience everything that he is. Okay. So, that being true, we have a free will, right? We can choose things. And Brother Ed Somerville did a marvelous teaching a few weeks back on that free will. Okay? And as I was meditating the other day, it just kind of fell on top of me that our free will is the freedom to choose what influences our decisions. Now, sometimes we don't have any choices as to what influences our decisions. When we're children, in our families influence our decisions. But as we grow older, and we come away from that childhood, then we have choices to make. And how do we make choices? Brother Terry Wilson said we have some, I don't know, Terry, you can correct me if I'm wrong. How many bits of information are we getting every moment? How many thousands of bits? Millions of bits of information. Every moment that we're standing. And we assimilate all those. Those influence what we do. I'm coming to believe that the free will is the freedom to choose what influences our choices and decisions have. So just as we are immortal beings and have a choice for eternal life or eternal death, we choose in every moment of our lives what we do and what makes us choose. I think that's one of the big reasons, again, for the sending of the Comforter, the sending of the Holy Spirit. We have him every moment, every second, even when we're sleeping. And we can choose to let Holy Spirit influence our decisions. We can choose to let Holy Spirit guide us. We can choose to let Holy Spirit speak through us, whether we understand it or we don't. If we believe and trust that he is the one that's guiding it. Deuteronomy 30:19. And I wish I had marked that, but I will go to it. And then I'll read it. Somewhere. Oh, I got to go way back. There we are. Deuteronomy 30:19. He said, I call on heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have presented you with life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life so that you will live, you and your descendants, loving, in the Jewish Bible it says Adonai, your God, paying attention to what he says and clinging to him, for that is the purpose of your life. On this depends the length of time you will live in the land of, that Adonai swore he would give you to your ancestors. That's kind of funny. The choices that we make depend on how long we live. If you choose to move out into a busy street, you ain't gonna live here too long. He wants to influence the decisions that we make. So, and what is an influence? You know, guys, I got to bring some kind of definition here. An influence is, according to Webster's, an agency or a power serving to affect, modify, or sway in some way. Ability or power sufficient to produce some effect, to sway, to affect, to bias. To bias, to lean toward what? To lean toward life. That's what we need to do. We need to lean toward life. Life via the Holy Spirit. You see? Okay. Jesus came so that we might have life and more abundantly. I feel like more and more every day. Thank you, Lord. We are limiting ourselves because we don't understand that we are infinite. How are we infinite? We are infinite in that we live in, through, and by Holy Spirit, given life by Jesus Christ. Yes, David? There you go. Yep. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. He's in us, through us, and around us. Which is a good, you brought up a good point, brother. I get to get another plug in here. I didn't know that I would or not, but I am. Acts chapter 3. I want to briefly go through that. If I can briefly go through that, I'm going to get here. Come on, here we go. Still learning how to drive this thing. Chapter 3. What was happening in Acts chapter 3? Well, it was right after Acts chapter 2. where the Holy Spirit came on the disciples, and they had witnessed the miracle of the thousands saved and Holy Spirit speaking through them. I'm actually going to back up to verse 42 or verse 41. So those who had accepted what Peter had said, talking about that, were immersed or baptized, and they were added to the group that day, about 3,000 people. 3,000 people got saved that day. They continued faithfully in the teaching of the disciples, in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And everyone was filled with awe, and many miracles and signs took place through the disciples, and all those trusting in Jesus stayed together and had everything in common. In fact, they sold their property and possessions and distributed all the proceeds to all who were in need, continuing faithfully with singleness of purpose to meet in the temple courts daily, breaking bread in their several homes. They shared their food in joy and in simplicity of heart, praising God and having the respect of all people. And day after day, the Lord kept adding to them those who were being saved. Once they were saved, they couldn't stay away from each other. Why? Because the reflection of God's Holy Spirit in their personalities brought joy, brought sufficiency, brought help, brought provision, brought the needs of everybody. And yet today, we want to try to get all that once a week, right here. And I would submit to you that we need to make it a habit to gather together in groups or families. That's not just our blood family, but it's our spiritual family. That we can receive from each other and that we can give to each other on a regular basis. Now, in this day and time, it's sort of difficult to do that every day. But if we do this once a week, can we not get together one more time a week with our smaller family? What happens? What happens with that? People are added to the kingdom. Why? Because your strength from meeting and having Holy Spirit gives you confidence to share, hey, this is good. You might want this. Come try it out. Come see it. People are added, and you have respect because as we learn more and more and more about our Lord, the glow comes off, and even those who can't stand you cannot help but respect you because of the way that you treat them. Just a plug. Okay, what else happens? It says in chapter 3, verse 1, one afternoon at 3 o'clock, as Peter and John were walking up to the temple, a man crippled since birth was being carried in. And every day, people used to put him in the beautiful gate of the temple so that he could beg from them and ask them for some money. But they stared straight at him, and Peter said, "Look at us." And the crippled man fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "What? I don't have silver. I don't have gold. But what I have, I'll give to you." He reached down, and at that point, he reached down and grabbed him, okay? He didn't expect the guy to reach up. He reached down and grabbed him and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be healed." Three o'clock, the hour of Manaka prayers. We'll look at it afterwards. It's a Jewish thing. This is a Jewish Bible. It's the same time. No, don't worry, brother. Thank you. It's the same time. But how many of us would do that. I question myself. Really, I do. How many of us would take that opportunity? We've got it. And that's where I believe the Lord is taking us as a body, to walking in who we really are without the distractions, as we said last week, was to cause us to what? Kill ourselves. But we are children of the Most High God. And if we trust Him, every day miracles and signs and wonders will happen. How do I know this? Well, He said so. Where did He say it? Mark 16. Where did you go, Mark? There you are. Go.
Sometimes I think it's too much ta-da today.
Yeah.
Ta-da. When you can just walk into it, it's like when you're a Christian, a true Christian,
yep.
You know, you don't have to be taught about community. You naturally do it. But today, it's like people have to be shown. And I get it. You talk about it. But if you just let the Holy Spirit just walk out in them, and it's a simple thing, maybe a smile, maybe a meet up with somebody twice, and you're talking about the same thing because they needed to hear it again, and they thank you very much, and all that good stuff.
Yep.
It's just so good. It's just so good.
Yeah, it's what you...
Ta-da! If you don't do this, then you're not... And then you put that hierarchy of, well, I'm more spiritual than you. It just gets crazy.
Yeah, and that's why we need that gathering together outside of this gathering together. Because then, you know, in this gathering together, we all have our defenses and our safety zones where so much of our personality gets out and some of our personality does not get out. And that's okay. But we need that place. Jesus had His, how many? Had His 3, and He had His 12. But we need that place.
I'm just going to say, sometimes it better not get up, but I can't.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's the health of it.
Yeah.
That's the health of it, and that's where, again, as we do that, it said they had the respect of the people. Because you're walking healthy. And why are you walking healthy? Because you have relation with your family, with your brothers and your sisters. Okay. But I said, so that you can walk in your ta-da, in Mark chapter 16, let's see. I want to start with verse 14, I think. It says, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and He reproached them for their lack of trust and spiritual, my Bible says insensitivity, in not having believed those who had seen Him after He'd risen. You know, we talked about that earlier. Some hesitated. Then He said to them, as you go throughout the world, proclaim the good news to all creation. Whoever trusts and is immersed will be saved, and whoever does not trust will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who do trust in My name. They will drive out demons. That scripture should be a foundation against fear. Because the first thing the enemy will do when a demon manifests anywhere is try to make you afraid. But what did Jesus say? You'll drive them out. Okay? You'll speak with new tongues. I had the privilege of going to Russia. And we had a crusade And there was a fella that came up for healing, and I happened to be privileged to pray for him. And as I started praying, I was praying in English, and all of a sudden I just stopped, and I was praying in something that I didn't, this is a true story, did not understand, because I didn't understand what his problem was. His problem was he had a headache that wouldn't go away. And later my interpreter said that I was speaking Russian and commanding his healing for his head. Now, we can do that if we trust that the words that are coming out of our mouth are holy words, and that it's done at the unction of the Holy Spirit. Not at the unction of I want a ta-da, but at the unction of the Holy Spirit. But it is a useful tool to bring forth the fruits of the kingdom. And we need not be ashamed or afraid of it. You will speak with new tongues. You will not be injured if you handle snakes. Now, it also says you don't test your Most High God. So you don't go out looking for them to handle them, okay? Right? However, if they threaten you and you are to go to the other side, fear not, pick them up, sling them. or drink poison. Again, don't be testing the Most High God on the poison thing. If it happens accidentally, that's another story. Heal the sick by laying hands on them. Now, did he say the healing would come instantaneously? Did he say that the healing would not come instantaneously? Nope. What he said was, lay hands on them. Yeah.
We're bound by natural and supernatural.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? This is where, even in the body of Christ, when you start talking about healing sick, cleansing lepers, raising the dead, casting out devils, they go, ah.
Yeah.
Because you're in the supernatural realm.
Yeah.
You're speaking in tongues and you're speaking Russian. I mean, it's like we want to grasp God with our rational mind, and you can't do that.
You can't. That's what I said to start with. And it's something that is difficult as a human being to lay down because you're born into time. Your reference is based on time. We have to get out of that reference. We're an eternal being. This mechanical thing that we're housed in wears out, has issues. Why? Well, that goes back to the garden. You can blame Adam and Eve on that one. Yeah, Dave. There you go. He's omnipotent. Oh, he does have the ability to do it. As he wants to do it. Not if, as. As he wants to do it. Yeah. And you keep knocking. You keep knocking. And why is that? Why are we asked to persevere. Why? Well, for one thing, perseverance builds strength. The more you lift that weight, the stronger you get. But it also brings opportunity for things to happen. It brings opportunity for us to witness when we're waiting on something. Like as I shared on the water problem that we had at our house, it brings opportunity to share what God is doing for you when you're in the middle of it. When you're in the middle of it. But so let me go back, and I'm going to read this a little faster now. And these signs will accompany those who do trust in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will not be injured if they handle snakes. Why did he specifically bring up snakes? I think that's in your face, Satan, for the original deception. You got to look for those little cues. He does have a sense of humor, you know. Just like, go tell my disciples and Peter, you know. You got to watch for those little things. He'll do that. Threw it in the fire. Yep, exactly. They will not be injured if they handle snakes or drink poison and heal the sick by laying hands on them. And then after that, he was taken up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And who came down? Holy Spirit. Jewish Bible calls him Ruach HaKodesh. So, you need to look for your miracles because he'll sneak up on you.
May I share something on the scripture you just read?
Yep.
You know, about if you take anything.
Yep. Yes. And I lost
use of my arms and my legs because of two shots that I received.
Wow.
And it was almost immediate.
Amen.
And so I stood on that, and then I went to the hospital because I fall risk, you know.
Yeah.
But I got over it, praise you, Jesus.
Yeah.
And then there was another incident that happened. I won't go on all the details, but it wasn't right. And so, and I didn't think to stop it here, you know, with the IV thing.
Right.
Something that had happened. And I said, Father, I thank you that if, you know, that if that's what I'm thinking it is, no deadly things shall harm me. And so I just kept standing on that, you know, because it's not just what we train.
Right.
It's what you take in your system.
Yes. Yes.
Anything.
Yep.
If we take any deadly thing, it shall
not harm us. Amen.
I love that scripture. It became more alive to
me. Amen. And that's exactly how we should walk. Exactly how we should walk. Always, always, always leaning back on that. Now, I got a surprise for me, and I got a surprise for you guys. The Wednesday before the first storm hit, I was getting ready for worship practice, and Pastor John comes up to me, and he says, "Brother," says, "you've been fishing?" And unfortunately, I had to say, "No, I had not been fishing." And I thought he was talking about this class. And he said, "Well, when I was teaching this class, I found this." You know what this is? This is a fish hook. He found it right up here. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. In my house, my fishing equipment is at one end, and I do most of the living on the other end of the house. I hadn't been around my fishing equipment. So it could not have gotten into any of my study materials. I want to submit to y'all that this is our sign. That God placed that fish hook up there to let us know this is the way we should walk. We should walk looking for Holy Spirit every day, expecting Him to move every day, and trusting that He has our best and He will answer every day. Every day. It may not be big, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't know any way that this fish hook could get up here. Unless, did anybody put a fish hook up there? Anybody? Nobody put a fish hook up there. Now, I'm going to tell you something, too. This sucker here is going to go in my tackle box. And I'm expecting 153 fish on this thing. Oh, there you go. I may not, I'm not even sure if I have to have bait on this thing. I'll have to pray about that. Lord, am I supposed to bait this thing before I put it in? Anyway, I hope that what we've talked about over these past four sessions has moved us, and I'm including myself more, into looking at how we walk with the Holy Spirit, what we expect from ourselves and Holy Spirit, and how we relate one to another, sharing Holy Spirit. I appreciate y'all. I really do. This has been an adventure, and I'm expecting it to be very fruitful. Not only with this, but with this. Let's pray. Father, it's been an awesome honor and an awesome privilege to stand and to share and to come to know you, Holy Spirit, even more. I ask, Father God, that you bless us. Lord, give us opportunities to share how you work and to share our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep us safe, we ask, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.